Let's turn to 1 Peter, just because the title of the message this morning could be many things, actually, but the title I've given it is Living Stones in God's House, or it could be entitled The Life of a Saint. So you can take your pick there. But 1 Peter 2, and we can begin actually at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So, Father, thank you for placing us, Lord, in a community. Thank you that your building is built with living stones, that your temple is built with people, and that you say that you will inhabit even those very people. You will pour out your spirit, and that you will make your home within us. Lord, thank you for the miracle that that is, and the assurance and the hope and the strength that gives us as we know that you're with us always. Amen. So last week we looked at three things, or several things, that the early church saw priority in. And one was a fellowship, and one was prayer, and one was breaking of bread, and the other one was the apostles' teaching. So we looked at three or four things, looking at what were some of the priorities that the early church majored upon, and how we also can make those a part of our Christian life and lifestyle, even in our homes. Even the fact of taking communion in our homes with each other and with friends coming that are over, even actually some of that I think was quite challenging to people. Well, really, can I take communion in my home? Well, actually, yeah, we can, because it's not just a religious ceremony that we have here in church. Actually, we can bring Jesus into the very heart of our home and celebrate what he has done by even sharing bread and wine together and saying, can we just spend a few moments praying? Can we just spend time just inviting God to be just at the heart of us meeting together? And so I know that for some people that was like, wow, I'd never thought of that before. But yeah, so these were some of the things that the early church were doing. So I really, this morning, I wanted to just carry on that theme about actually what is church, because this is something that God laid upon my heart. Actually, what is it that we, again, are doing week after week? What is our purpose? And, you know, first, church is what we are, isn't it? It's not something that we go to. It's a funny thing when we say, this week I'm going to go to church. What did you do? Oh, I went to church. I say to my kids, actually, we're not going to church. We're church all the time. We're church together as a family, and we're church together when we meet with friends and fellow Christians. And yes, we are church again when we come together as a church, but we don't go to church, do we? And but in one sense we kind of know this, but actually it's the practice. When we meet together, are we thinking, actually this is wonderful that we're able to meet with fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, people that are of the same heart and DNA and of the same faith? We're meeting together. Wow, this is real church. This is real communion. And so when Jesus, when he talked about who we are as a church, he said things like, this is in, you don't need to put this up, Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. I've often said it feels quite lonely, one of me and many of you there. So please smile and help me out. Is that okay? So you're the salt of the earth. You are the what? Light of the... Wow, he's talking about who we are. This is us, the church. You are a city set on a hill, Matthew 5, verse 14. That's what he's saying about who we're, that's who God says the expectation is, in one sense, about who we are. We're not sort of shrinking back and just, you know, you are the salt of the earth. If it was not for you, then how would people hear the message? How will people hear the good news? And we are the church. It's up to you and me to be the mouth, the hands, the feet of Jesus, to be his church. Wow, what a calling. That's what we are called to do. We don't go to church, but we are the church. And, you know, being part of the church is being like Jesus. And being part of God's family is giving of ourselves so that we can more often reveal who Jesus is. Now, I want to just look at a verse in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And I want to look at the life of an unsung hero. I know that there are many people that are serving God passionately in this church, but not in this church only, but in other churches in Horsham, but across the world, who are serving God and who God sees as saints and who are faithful people, and they may never even get their reward here upon the earth. But you know what? They're going to get an almighty great reward from God in heaven. Unsung heroes in the faith. And it's good to look at the Word of God and to see actually, to look at some of these lives and see how can we capture something of their heart, of their passion, of their love for God, that they were willing to serve him even without recognition. And you know, one of the things that we ask anybody who comes onto leadership, as it were, in the church here, is that would you be willing to serve God without any recognition, or without any title, just serving God? Would you be willing to do that? Because actually, when it comes to leadership, we should be modeling who Jesus is, as in as a servant leader. And although titles are nice, in one sense, actually, titles are nothing. Titles are nothing. Because it's not about a title or position or privilege or being called a pastor or an elder or a deacon or whatever it is. The greatest title you can give somebody is a saint. Isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's mind-blowing. We're going to look at this. It's mind-blowing. It's just incredible, exciting, wonderful, just to be called a Christian. I mean, that's more than enough. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. So we're going to look at just the life of Phoebe. And there's only like two lines about her, but I want to read this. This is in Romans 16, verse 1 and 2. And just to look at some of the things that have been mentioned about her. Is that all right? I can see people going, I don't know why people are going like that, but maybe they go, oh, this is good. Oh, this is lovely. Romans 16, 1 and 2. And this is what it says. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centrea, or Cenchrea, depends on how you pronounce that. And I had to actually to go onto the audio Bible and listen to how it's pronounced, because how do you pronounce these words? I knew there would be somebody, if I didn't give the two things, they'd be saying, oh, no, it's not pronounced like that. It's pronounced like that. So I've given you the two. So, and if you come up with a third, well, good luck. Okay. Centrea, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a worthy way of the saints, and give her any help that she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Just to praise God. Well done. A couple of lines talking about this lady who was a faithful servant, a saint in God's house, but greatly used. Now, I was looking at this town. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name. It was a port town near Corinth, a seaport. It has another claim to fame. Anybody know what the other claim to fame is? Something happened there. Paul did something, you know. So in Acts 18, verse 18, it says that Paul...
he had his hair cut.
There you go. There was a barber's there. Yeah, well, he had his hair cut. It says that in that town, he went there and had his head shaved to fulfill a vow. Yes. So that's the other claim to fame. Okay, so I just wanted to look at three points, really, from her life. And just looking, bringing that then into us being living stones. How can we learn from... She wasn't somebody who necessarily held a great title in the church, but it says that she was a great blessing. And it's good to look at these, as it were, kind of unsung heroes. And so first of all, I want to look at, it describes her as a sister. As a sister. I commend to you our sister, Phoebe. And so first and foremost, if we look at what church is a family, isn't it? Church is a family and community. So many times when we read in the Word, it talks about brother and talks about sister. It doesn't talk about colleague or somebody with a mutual interest. Talks in terms of family, brother, sister. That's the whole thing, isn't it? That we can relate as well to our Heavenly Father. It's a beautiful language that's used. So we may not all be biological brothers and sisters in one sense connected to each other, but we are spiritual family. Do you know that? So I just want, can you just look at each other? Maybe just look at the person next to you and look at the person behind you. Have a look at them, Joy. No. So the Bible says in Hebrews 2 verse 11, Jesus, who makes people holy, and those who are made holy are from the same family. So he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. So let's just take a moment to let this truth sink in, okay? Let this truth sink in. That when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you become a fully paid up, fully accepted member of God's family. God becomes your father, we become his child, and other believers become our brothers and sisters. We know this, but I want to encourage you to turn the knowing into, wow, actually reaching out maybe to others. How would we feel if I saw my biological sister? I only have a sister, her name's Sharon. If I saw her in need, would I just think, oh well, that's nothing to do with me. Somebody else will look after her. Actually, because she is my sister, then I have a responsibility to care for her. Do you understand? And it really is the same one for another. That if I see that there's a need here in this community, because you're my brothers and my sisters, actually, I want to, in some way, to reach out and care and help. And hopefully someone will do that for me. You know, being the pastor, being the elder here, doesn't mean that I don't have struggles, things that are painful for me, things that are difficult. No, I have issues and needs and things that I need support in. And I'm sure that you do as well. So I need you, and you need me as well, hopefully, to care for one another, speak into each other's lives, to support one another. I need it. I don't know about you, you may be better than me, but I need you to do that for me. Me and my family need that. What did Jesus say in Matthew? There's quite a few scriptures, Hannah, so I'm going to just read them otherwise. But Matthew 12 says, pointing his hand at his disciples, he said, look, here are my mother and my brother. Whatever does what my Father in heaven wants is my brother and sister and mother. So family members stick by one another. Well, they should. They should do. Yeah? So when times are tough, they stick by one another. And, you know, being part of God's family is a massive privilege. One of the greatest privileges we will ever receive in life. Being accepted, being welcomed as part of God's family. So this community here is one expression of God's family. But God's placed you here, and it's not a coincidence, and it's not just, well, luck, that God's placed us here for a purpose and a reason. So whenever you feel unimportant, unloved, insecure, remember, who's your father? When we feel insignificant, insecure, whatever it is, let's remember, wow, who is my father? Oh yes, my father is Almighty God. I'm loved, I'm cherished, it's amazing. You know, we're not meant to be lone rangers, do you know that? And I think last week I was talking about, actually we need one another. And sometimes fellowship and community takes a lot of work. Because sometimes we get put in a life group with maybe people that we don't even like. Yeah, I got in Andrew and Karen's group. How did that... Or sometimes even in the church, there are some people that we gravitate to and some people that we get on with, and there are some people that we find it more difficult. Is that true? I wasn't talking about the marriage. It's, if we're honest, it's true. But you know, even in that process, God is at work, refining us, working on our attitudes, doing something to make us more like who Jesus is. Accepting and loving those that are difficult to love. I mean, it does something in those people, because maybe someone's never loved them before. Maybe they felt rejected all of their lives, and you're the one that's going to persist and love that person with the love of Jesus to bring that person through to some greater degree of wholeness. You understand what I'm... And actually, in doing that, God's going to do a work in your life as well. There's a lot of togetherness in the Bible. It's not, I'm just going to do things on my own, and whether you like it or not, you can join in behind me because this is where I'm going. And actually, there's a lot of togetherness. And being part of God's family is laughing together. Who likes to laugh? I love to laugh. I love to laugh and enjoy the goodness of God. Crying together. You know, there's a time... sometimes to laugh and to celebrate, and there are times sometimes to weep and to mourn and to cry and come alongside people because of what they're going through. The problem is that we don't stay just crying. There's to be a time of coming out the other side. But there is a time. There is a time to be together, to dream together, doing things together. So that together, John 13, love one another. Yes, love one another. Be Romans 12 verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is the church, living stones, joined together. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Romans 14 verse 13, let us not judge one another. Romans 16, verse 16, this is what Alex and I love to do. Greet each other with a holy kiss. On the cheek, preferably, but if he wants on the lips, that's fine. Right there. Greet each other with a holy kiss. Romans 15, verse 14, teach one another. Galatians 5, verse 13, serve one another in love. Ephesians 4, 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Hebrews 10 verse 25, well, now I'm speeding up. Encourage what? One another. 2 Peter 4 verse 9, offer hospitality
to one another.
Thank you, Brian. And many verses that say this, but love one another. It's what we are called to do. So, you know, being part of God's community isn't just turning up on a Sunday, but it's actually living out these one another verses. Living out these one another verses. So, can I challenge you? Let's make it a goal to see one another differently. And make it a goal to live increasingly more part of God's family. The second point I want to pull out is Phoebe was called a sister, but then she was called a saint. Can everybody say saint? A saint. And it, Paul says, receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. In other words, someone is coming to you that I'm sending you, so receive her because she's been a blessing to me. Throw open your doors, welcome her. She's part of us. She's one of us. Open your homes and your heart. And can I just say that you don't have to be canonized to be a saint. If you have given your life to Jesus and you've committed your life to him and you've given him the control of your life, you dedicated, surrendered to him, you're a saint. So many times in the Bible, Paul writes to the saints. To the saints. But, you know, to some people, even that have come out of maybe a, you know, high church, the idea that we would be called saints is quite a, really? But actually looking at what the Bible says and who many of the letters were written to, it's written to the saints. So that's us, isn't it? So we are the saints. Romans 1:7, Paul writes, to all in Rome who are loved by God and who are called saints. So the moment that we give our life to Jesus, he comes and he sanctifies us. We're made holy. We become part of his family. And now I want you to call me Saint Steve, please. No, just joking. But that's it. That's who I am. Not because of anything that I've done, but because of what he has made it possible for me. And you're the same. Saint Roger. So afterwards, is there a... Absolutely. So please address him as Saint Roger at coffee time. Thank you. Was that? dear. Right. Okay. I've completely lost where I was now. Okay. Yeah, God comes. And because of what he has done and us putting our faith in him, he makes us acceptable and we become, as it were, his children, saints. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. So, and you know, we've heard this, but you know, God's intention to work in us is not for our comfort, but it's to develop our character. And sometimes we think, oh, I just want a comfortable, easy life. And but you know, it's not about doing. It's not about striving. It's not, because he's already done it for us. So we said this morning, as we can come to the waters and be refreshed. But there is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that God is doing in us, because he wants to develop and refine us, our character, to make us more like who he is. And sometimes that is why we go through challenges sometimes, and sometimes life doesn't seem comfortable. Have you ever wondered, why aren't I more like Jesus? I don't know about you, but sometimes something comes up and I react in a way and I go, oh my goodness, where did that come from? Does anybody? Thank you. Jackie. Thank goodness for Jackie. So, you know, sometimes we're like that. Hey, have you ever noticed two people that have been married for a long time, how somehow they can be so alike? Actually, even people that they're obviously not biologically connected, as it were, but they even, like, strangely kind of look the same. You ever noticed that? And sometimes their mannerisms are the same, and they can even answer each other's sentences. Why is that? It's like that because they have spent so much time together that they've actually become, as it were, so connected, so joined, so at one with each other. And you know, I think that's like us becoming more like Jesus. The more time that we can spend and do spend reading his word, spending time in his presence, it's not doing, but it's just being. The more time that we can spend in that, building that relationship, do you know what's going to happen? The more you and I are going to become like him. It's just how it works. We're going to think like him because we're reading. When we read this word, it tells us who he is. It explains to us his thoughts. We get to know his character. That's how it works. Colin, praise God for you. So I want just to encourage, you know, if you're saying, actually, I want to become more like Jesus, then there's no quick route in one sense, but it's about spending time in his presence, being with him, listening to him, fellowshipping with him, and letting who he is rub off on you. That's how it's going to happen. So, you know, do we spend time? It's not just about, do you spend 2 hours a day doing Bible study and some very intense scripture reading? But actually, do we spend time just in God's presence, telling him the stuff that where we're struggling, giving him the issues and the struggles that we go through, as well as the successes? Do we share life with him? Because that's what God wants. He wants a reality of sharing life together. That's the life of a saint. The more time that we think and put ourselves into the Word of God, the more we're going to reflect who Jesus is. Amen on that one? Yeah. I think it was, I can't remember who was saying it. I think Ali was saying that she heard something that actually, who we really are, you can correct me on this, but who we really are is what we are when serving is stripped away, when titles are stripped away, when busyness is stripped away, when everything else of the Christianese thing is stripped away, and it's just me and God. That's who we really are. Just out that one-to-one, simple relationship with him. So what would it be like if Jesus came to live in your shoes for a day? So one day, think about this for a minute, that Jesus, the heart of Jesus now is living through you. So it's you, but it's Jesus. So he wakes up in the morning. And so your circumstances haven't changed. Your health hasn't changed. You're still facing the same kid problems or whatever it is that you're facing. But if it was the pure life of Jesus, if it was actually Jesus living, how would that change things? Would people see a difference in us? Would our problems seem so big? Would our problems seem so big to Jesus? Would our problems cause him to lose sleep? Do you understand what I'm saying? Would your boss see a difference? What has happened to this person? Would your wife see a difference? Would your husband see a difference? How would it be if that took place? I know it's a bit of a mind bender, but because Jesus actually is living in us and living through us. And sometimes it'd be great just to even just for the, for our marriages and our families, and you know, for us to let a little bit more Jesus out, and not hold him in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, or have I totally confused you? You all understand? Yeah, okay, you're all looking at me like I've... Okay, brilliant. What does the Bible say? Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out a stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender and responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you. And we've heard it said before, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you so much that he refuses to let you stay that way. Why? Because he wants us to be like Jesus. He wants you to have a heart like his. And you know, that's what he wants for his church. So isn't that what Christians means, isn't it? What does Christian mean? Little Christs. I think, was it Will was saying, you know, that's, and they were called Christians. You're so much like Jesus. All of you, you're like little Christians. Little Christs. Wow. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That they were so full of him that they were reflecting who he was. Okay. Are you still with me? Yeah. So the last point is servant, being a servant. And Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. And so the Greek word that's used is diakonos, which is where we get the word deacon or minister. But the point is not that she held a special position or title. As I said, titles don't matter. It's not about title, but she in her heart was a servant. She served in many different ways. And Paul says, he says, help her in every way you can, for she has helped many in need, including me. So actually being part of a church is having a servant-hearted nature one to another. Yeah? It's what it all of us are called to do as saints, is to be servant-hearted. And you know, sometimes I hear of things that people are doing in the church, good things, where people are helping people or taking people out shopping or doing this thing week after week and loving people and caring for people and without wanting to be acknowledged or wanting any title, or but they're just serving. Now, those are the people that are going to have the greatest admiration for and respect for, and those are the people that, in one sense, God's going to pour out incredible blessings upon. Really is. Being a servant is so necessary. And so I want to ask, you know, what gifts and talents, what abilities, what are your longings, what passions, what can you bring, in one sense, what can you sow into other people's life? I know there are people that love cooking, and I was thinking, you know, cooking is a great thing. If cooking is your thing, why don't you invite people over to your house for a meal, or even get just people together to share your passion for cooking, whatever it is. Anybody like football? One person. Andrew and Mary. Football. People love football. It's a passion for a lot of people. Do you know what would be a great blessing? Is that somebody that loves football would grab a football on a Sunday morning and play football with the kids after the service. Seriously, that would be a great blessing to the young people that are here. And that, you know, when you do something that you like, it's not a chore, is it? I've got myself down for the flight simulator club because that's what... what's that? Nobody else will be there. How wrong you are. Me and Andrew. Yes. If you've not experienced the delights of the Flight Simulator Club, please come and join my club Wednesday night. No, just like that. Actually, I've thought about doing that. But what are you good at with your hands? You know, there are people here, you know, Dave and others and Jason and others that have helped me practically with me trying to fix all the cars that keep going wrong in my life. But a great blessing, because they've given up their talents. Can be a word, can be an encouragement, it can be just, it's an attitude in one sense, more than just trying to do stuff all the time. Being a servant, caring for one another, practically reaching out to others. Anybody a good listener here? I know that there are lots of people that are very good listeners, and you're all like too humble to sort of put your... What's that? Pardon, yeah. Can you listen? Can you come alongside somebody and give good advice? Can you love somebody? Care for somebody? Just do something to show the love of God to somebody. You know, that's what it means about being a servant and being together in community. And, you know, we don't need to go to Africa, although there are missions all over the world that we can go on. But it's not about going to Africa or India or wherever it is. You know, there are lots of different ways of serving God, even just here in the church or here in Horsham. Even just here in the church, I'm really excited. Tunde is, oh, there's Tunde. I'm really excited about what God's doing in the youth at the moment. Woohoo! And because it's really exciting what's happening. You know, the youth work is really gelling and coming together. And they had a Mexican party at the church, and there was, I don't know how many people were there. There was 20. I don't know. Yeah, 20. Young people, some from the church, but also some of their friends, and there were sombreros, and they wouldn't let me stay. I wanted to join in, but there was such a great vibe about, you know, in that place where they're having fun, and but they were sharing the Lord and building relationship. It's really, really wonderful what is happening in our youth and young people in the world. There's something to be really encouraged about. And there's Tunde and others on the team that are meeting each week to build that. And I know that God's going to increase that, and it's going to grow, and it's going to become something really significant, and going to become a real strong part of our church in the future. But it's something that people don't even see, because it's something that goes on a Friday night and we don't even know. But it really is exciting. And so thank you, Tunde, for all the hard work and running about from here to there and everywhere, and doing all that you're doing. But so for Tunde and Timmy and Jemima and Jason, so many, and Lisa, and so many other people. And Samuel, yes. Samuel is an army, isn't he? He's a one-man army, that boy. So that could be an area. Maybe God put it on your heart. Mums and Toddlers, that's happening on a Wednesday, is another area. You know, I was meeting in here. For assembly, I did two assemblies. You may have seen the post that I did. We did two lots of, I think it was 150, so 300 young people standing in front of sharing about what it is to know God and have a relationship with Him. It's an awesome experience. There are opportunities. You know, come and be part of the team as we come and share Jesus with people. In the schools, we're sharing here and in All Saints. Danny has a lunch club, we go to the detention centre. There's other things like Oasis and other fantastic things that are going on in Horsham. But it's not about doing. It's about being first and being in relationship with Him. But out of that being, we can give and serve. You can't be a servant unless you first are secure and in that relationship with Him, because then it becomes about works, and, oh, I've got to do it, and I've been told to do it, so I will do it. I mean, that's grim. But if it's like, I am so in love with Jesus, how can I have an opportunity to give out of what I have received? That's the way round it needs to be. I'm not saying do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's get this relationship right so that we can then just, it flows naturally. Serving, loving, caring one another. And generally, you know, God calls the people that feel that they're unqualified. So if you think, oh, that's not me, I'm afraid you are exactly. I can't speak. Oh, brilliant. You're the very person. I'm not very good at doing that. Excellent. You're the one. Because that's, I can remember saying to God many, many years ago, I can't lead a Bible study. I can't do this. I can't do that. And same for you, isn't it? That's a very dangerous prayer. Don't say to God, you can't do anything. Because in my experience, when we say we can't do anything, it's like a challenge. And we end up doing those very things. Because it's for him, isn't it? He wants to reveal his power through us. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. And there are so many stories in the Word of God that where people just felt they couldn't do anything. Okay, so just to finish with them, church isn't something that just opens and closes with prayer. Church isn't something that you attend. Church isn't a place. Church is you. Church is the people. Church is the community. Church is the family. We're brothers and sisters together. Okay, so just want to encourage you. You know, see each other like that. When you get together in your life groups, love upon each other a bit more. Be a bit more gracious to one another. Because I'm sure if you're having to show grace to somebody, I'm sure they may have to be showing grace to you. Love upon each other. A gift or a text or a word. Something. But, yeah, let's encourage one another to do that. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whether it's on a Sunday, whether it's at work, wherever you are, do you know what? You're the church and we represent it. You know that, don't you? Because when people say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. And Christians don't normally behave like that. Why are you calling yourself a Christian? And, you know, but actually people say those things because actually we represent the church. Because, as I said, we don't go to church. We are the church. That's why people say those things to us. So, yeah, let's just remember that we represent God's church because we are. So should we just wrap that up and let's pray? Now, the being part of God's church is amazing. So I just want to ask if there's anybody here. Maybe you've even been a Christian, but you've kind of backslidden or moved away from walking with God. Or maybe you've never given your life to God before. I just want to give you an opportunity to come back to him. Or even to commit your life to God for the first time. To make God your first love. Because this wonderful community and family of God is an incredible and exciting thing to be a part of. And I want everybody to experience that, and I know that God does as well. So can we just pray? And maybe if there's anybody here, you say, actually, I've never given my life to God. I'm not sure whether I'm part of God's family. Or maybe you have been and you've slipped back in some way. You know, there's no condemnation. God loves you. And he wants to welcome you back and fully restore you. So can we just pray just briefly? And if you want, you can just pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to dedicate my life to you. Sorry for the things that I've done wrong. And ask you to forgive me of all the sin and the things that have put a barrier between me and you. I want to be part of your family. I want to know you as my father. And I want to see myself as your son. Would you accept me as I turn away from all the things that I've done wrong and I turn to you? Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit to give me the power to live this new life? And that every day from this moment on, I will live as a Christian. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I thank you by faith that I'm now your child. in Jesus' name. Just want to pray as well for us as a church. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage those, encourage all of us, Lord, to see each other as those that are joined together through your blood, that we would see each other truly as brothers and sisters, love, care, share with each other, be in each other's homes more, be in each other's lives more. And I pray, Lord, that this message just wouldn't be another message, but Lord, that you, God, would spark the value of what that means into each of our lives. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for one another. Thank you for our fellow brothers and sisters. Thank you that we're called saints. And therefore, Lord, you can do great and wonderful things in and through us. Help us to see it, Father. Open our eyes, I pray, that we may glorify you, Jesus. Amen.